one of Ulster Rugby's key sponsors has said it is highly concerned by issues arising out of the rape trial involving Paddy Jackson and Stuart Olding. Both men were, of course, found not guilty. But Bank of Ireland have said that it has conveyed concerns directly to Ulster Rugby. The bank's logo is on the back of the Ulster shirt, and they have been sponsors for 20 years. What impact could the publicity surrounding the case have on Ulster Rugby and its brands? Well, the commentator and public relations expert, Nick Garbutt, with us this morning. Brand sponsorship will be very important, Nick. Good morning to you, to a club like Ulster, right?
Well, it is. And in fact, if you look at their 2016-2017 reports, you'll find that they were stating that year that they were getting $2.5 million a year in sponsorship. And if you think that their actual, you know, turnstile revenues are $3.3 million, and they were still projecting a deficit for this year of £250,000, then you can see just how vital it is to the club.
So there is absolutely no doubt whatsoever as to the innocence of all of the defendants in that case. That's what the court found, and there is no one doubting that for one second. What the Bank of Ireland have said, though, in their statement to the Nolan Show, they have said that they are highly concerned regarding the serious behaviour and conduct issues which have emerged as a result of the recent high-profile trial. So we can read into that a little, can't we? That presumably they're talking about some of the language within some of those text messages which then became public because of that trial. If the Bank of Ireland, Nick, is highly concerned about what they have already established outside of any inquiry that's ongoing, they've decided that they're highly concerned about that behaviour and conduct issues. Why are they doing nothing about it?
Well, I mean, I guess there's an investigation going on, and they will be in a very difficult position here as well, Stephen. I mean, obviously, you know, when they refer to their core values and it being aligned with a sponsorship, I would presume that they're referring to those matters which emerged in court, which weren't disputed, you know, the WhatsApp messages, you know, the very heavy drinking, you know, the sexual activity of one kind or another, that kind of thing, which I would have thought they, well, in fact, you don't have to guess this because they state their values very clearly on their website and their purpose. And they would take that very seriously because if you think back just a few years to the massive financial crisis and particularly in the Republic of Ireland, you know, the absolute devastation that banks caused there, they're trying to rehabilitate themselves, and it's very important to them that they are seen to be upholding good values.
Well, let me read the bank's full statement. It's probably fair we do that first of all.
Sure.
So they say, as a sponsor of Ulster Rugby, Bank of Ireland is highly concerned regarding the serious behaviour and conduct issues which have emerged as a result of the recent high-profile trial. The bank has formally conveyed these concerns to the CEO of Ulster Rugby. It is of paramount importance to Bank of Ireland that our sponsorship activity aligns with and supports our core values and reflects positively on Bank of Ireland through association. We understand that an internal review is underway. We expect this review to be robust, to fully address the issues raised, and that decisions will be taken and policies and protocols be put in place that fully address the issues that have arisen. Given that a review is underway, we won't comment further on this issue at this time, right? So that was their statement to the show. We then went back to them and we said the following to them. We said, look, given that the Bank of Ireland has already now publicly stated that they are highly concerned, they've reached that conclusion, that they are highly concerned about serious behaviour and conduct issues, we then asked the following three follow-up questions. Is the Bank of Ireland continuing to sponsor a team? Would the Bank of Ireland, we say, continue to sponsor a team which comprised of any player who displayed such behaviour or conduct, in other words, the serious behaviour? Why is the Bank of Ireland not making a public statement now about whether such behaviour or conduct is consistent with its brand values? And we asked the Bank of Ireland, is the Bank of Ireland currently reviewing its sponsorship deal with Ulster Rugby? And they come back and they say no comment. Yeah. So here's my overarching question, Nick, to make a long story short. Why is the Bank of Ireland waiting for an outside body, in other words, the Ulster Rugby Review, to decide what they should do as a bank? Why are they waiting for a separate investigation?
Well, I mean, the way
the conduct issues that they have described as serious, why aren't they deciding right now whether that's whether that's behaviour consistent with Bank of Ireland values?
Well, I mean, I think there are two answers to that, Stephen. I mean, first of all, in relation to the conduct, it's not the conduct of the club that they're objecting to, and they sponsor the club, not the individual players. So I guess they'll be waiting to see if they consider that the action that the club takes is appropriate in their view to what went on. But there's another side to this as well, of course, isn't there? And that is that, you know, when you sponsor a sporting club, and rugby is very, very attractive to banks in particular because of the, you know, the sort of traditional middle class supporters that it's gets who are, you know, reasonably affluent, then they get benefits. Big benefits. You know, they're associated with the club. They can market directly to fans. They get advertising through it. They do all sorts of corporate hospitality, and they use the brand in their advertising. And I guess that they'd also be concerned that if they took action too quickly, they might get a backlash from people who bank with them, who are passionate about Ulster Rugby as well. So it cuts both ways. It's a difficult one for them.
It kind of come the discussion also comes down to this, and look, we all know of conversations that are happening akin to this in Northern Ireland. Look, for those people who, because of the court process, we now know what they were saying in a WhatsApp group. What some of them were saying, and some of those people play for Ulster Rugby. Okay,
yeah.
If those players who are totally innocent by law, but we know how they talked about women between themselves.
Yeah.
If those players come back with an Ulster Rugby shirt on their back, is the Bank of Ireland wanting, and other sponsors, are they wanting to align themselves with a team consisting of players like that? When there's a little boy or a little girl watching Ulster Rugby and their mums and dads are there, and forget about little, you know, a 16 or 17 year old, which is a you know, they know how the world works, and they know about sex, and they know about respect for each other. You know, if they're looking at those players who talk about women in that language on the pitch, is the Bank of Ireland saying, yeah, we align ourselves with that brand value?
It would be very difficult for them, wouldn't it? And, you know, you think of the slogans that they've used as well. You know, when you look at when that sponsorship deal was signed, the chief executive of Bank of Ireland was talking about standing up for the Ulster men. And I think they have posters, you know, in bank branches talking about, we've got your backs, you know, with pictures of the players on it. And certainly it would be very uncomfortable, I would have thought, to see photographs in the paper of Olding or Jackson, you know, running across the pitch with Ulster Bank, with Bank of Ireland slapped all over them.
Is it from your PR expertise, is it damaging to the Bank of Ireland that they are waiting for an outside body to conclude an investigation, rather than them as a major organisation in this country making a decision for themselves, calling it?
Is it
fair of them to say, let's step back from this and wait and see what happens, because Ulster Rugby as a totality is important to this country?
I think it's fair to do that and proportionate, because, you know, this investigation inquiry, presumably it's sort of got, you know, HR implications. It's looking at how they've behaved against the code of conduct, and then they would presumably take action on the back of that, Stephen. And I think in that context as well, you know, one of the things that I think is really important, which obviously people in the media don't like, is if you're handling a really difficult situation, sometimes you just need time, and sometimes being slow actually helps you to get decisions right. They'll be wanting to see, you know, to see what happens in the next few weeks. They'll be looking at this protest tonight. They'll be looking at what damage will be done to the brand, and then they'll be making a decision. But there'll be no sentiment in it. It's a hard business decision. They've got a lot of money invested in Ulster Rugby, and you know, one way or another, it'll be, you know, balancing the benefits of what they get from the association against the cost of what they see as being conduct that undermines their core values.
Thomas in North Belfast. Morning, Thomas. 030-30-80-55-55. Go ahead, Thomas.
Stephen, I just think it's a bit over the top, and I think it's like ridiculous that a bank should not sponsor a full rugby team with all the sponsorship and all the advertising and everything, because some of the rugby players, two of the rugby players, sent text messages. Because that's what this is all about now. This is all turned around now, that the text messages are now the main story. Text messages that we should never have seen anyway, because there were two private messages that were obviously brought out because of what happened with the court case, etc. But the ask a team, I mean, Ulster Rugby might say to them, two rugby players, look, you're part of this rugby team. You have to be careful what you say, whether it's privately or on public. And we're going to give you, as our employer, a written warning or a verbal warning for what you've done. And I mean, that's the players getting punished, because they're basically getting hounded now because of text messages they wrote.
And Thomas, all fair comment from you, and that is one school of thought, isn't it? That there will be many, whether you like it or not, whether people want to admit it or not, there will be many young men who talk in that way, you know, boasting about sexual prowess and, you know, that type of language about women, that's how some young men talk about women privately, that they never want to become public, and that's how some young women talk about men privately, that they never want to become public. I get that, right? On the other side of the argument, though, Thomas, it is out there. You know, they never expected it to be out there. It is out there. So what Ulster Rugby are now presented with, and the sponsors like the Bank of Ireland are now presented with, is that it is out there that those men have used that type of language about women. And in this day and age, can you align yourself in any way to someone who is now identified as that is how they talk about women?
Stephen, people get involved in private conversations. If you're going with a girl or a boy or whatever, and you're sending messages and you're sex texting them, and you're saying this and you want to have this and you want to
do this.
But
that's between those two people who are in a relationship or engaged in sexual activity. This was a group of men describing women.
But Stephen, if they fall out, or you texted somebody 15 years ago or something, and you fall out and somebody says, here, look what Stephen Nolan sent me 20 years ago, right? That's out there, but should you get the sack from the BBC? Should you get a written warning from the BBC? Should somebody stop sponsoring you because you sent a text message? Because yes, I know that the court case has brought this all out, but basically that's what all this is down to now: text messages. And
Do you think they should be allowed to come back and play for the team? And do you think Bank of Ireland should continue to sponsor them?
Yes, Stephen, 100%. I think they should be brought into a room and told, look, you're representing a team, right? It's not some fella, and it shouldn't matter if you're sending text messages to anybody and you're saying that there. But should they people, I mean, if they're told, look, listen, you're in a public team. You're a public face. You have to be careful what you do, whether it's in private or public. Because someday you could fall out with somebody and somebody say, hey, here, look what Stephen Nolan, look what Thomas from North Belfast wrote, and that could come back on you. But for them, I mean, if they're going to be punished that way and they get a written warning as their employer or a verbal warning for sending a text message, I mean, what other punishment? I don't think they should lose their job because of text messages that none of us should have seen.
And of course, Nick Corbett, what's going on here is that, okay, you know, and a phone in and people can look at the rights and wrongs of what should happen. But I think you nailed it earlier, Nick. A hard business decision at the end of the day will be made here.
It is, and I was going to ask Thomas a question as well, if you're still there, Thomas.
He is.
If you, I don't know who you bank with, but if you did bank with Bank of Ireland and they did pull the sponsorship, would you be tempted to switch banks?
Not necessarily. At the end of the day, you're holding a whole business company responsible for something that they're going to do. I mean, you could write a letter to them and you could say, look, I totally disagree with this, or I think it's wrong that you've done this or whatever. But, I mean, that's down to you. You're basically blaming a whole... You're bringing a whole company, a whole rugby team, into a conversation over two football or two rugby players that sent text messages.
Yeah, that's interesting, though, isn't it? So that helps to, you know, that's the sort of thing that the bank will be thinking about at the moment, I'm sure.
Maliki in Antrim. Morning, Maliki.
Hello, Stephen.
Morning.
Stephen, I don't understand. This isn't difficult for me. These two young fellas, even though they weren't found guilty of rape, but there's no doubt about it that they were involved in a very sordid situation.
Hold on a moment. So I'm going to be very, very strict about this, okay? Because it's the right thing to do, and it's also we're required to do so legally, and it is the right thing to do. So these young men, not guilty on all counts, full stop. So we're not talking about anything that they've done legally wrong, because they've done everything legally right, and that's what a court has determined. So Maliki, what we're focusing in on here now is that when the Bank of Ireland, they have now publicly said, right, that they have regarded the players as having been involved in serious behaviour and conduct issues that have made them highly concerned. So the Bank of Ireland don't need to wait for Ulster Rugby to tell them that. They've determined that as an organisation themselves. So should they punish the whole team by withdrawing their partnership? Or do you think they should continue to stand by Ulster Rugby, Maliki?
I would say absolutely withdraw their support, because the players are meant to represent Ulster Rugby, not just on the pitch, but in their private life. But that's not the same with every sports person.
But what about the rest of the team? What about Ulster Rugby as an entity that will go on well beyond those players?
I mean, I don't understand. I mean, to say them young fellas, you know, they didn't act in a gentlemanly fashion, would that not be the understatement of the century?
Well, in their discussions about women, I think there would be quite a few people might agree with you. My goodness, they might even agree with themselves. But again, to be fair to them, you know, as unpopular as it is for me to say this, I'm sure this will make me unpopular, but I would dare say there are quite a few young men talking like that in WhatsApp groups across the country, and the only difference is it hasn't been made public. Robert Nards. Morning, Robert.
Morning, Steve. How you doing? Yes, I was going to say that as well. Yes, it's wrong. I don't advocate what was said in all this here, but that's the way a lot of young people speak nowadays. And the second point is...
Well, you could then argue, Robert, that maybe an example should be made that young people realise that that is not acceptable. Right. It's not acceptable to talk about women in that way and you know, calling them sluts and using words like spit roasting and all of this kind of stuff. Now, Nick Garbutt, is this, you know, even this conversation today, this is not why a sponsor puts money into any organisation. This is a nightmare for a sponsor, is it not?
It's really difficult, and it doesn't, you know, the fact that it's so divisive as well, you know, that people have got such strong opinions in both camps here, makes it even more difficult. And I would imagine, you know, if I was working at Bank of Ireland, I would be hoping and praying that there are conversations going on now between the club, maybe clubs in France or somewhere else, and the players, and that actually there'll be a way found to actually remove the problem altogether so it doesn't become an issue any longer.
Well, how could they do that?
Well, I mean, suppose, you know, if the players were to be released from the contracts and play for clubs in other countries, it might it would certainly solve the problem as far as the sponsors are concerned. For the club, it will be quite tricky, because you'd be losing your best player with Paddy Jackson. And obviously there's the players as well. And you wonder, you know, what state of mind they're in. I would have thought that playing under these conditions at the moment would be very, very difficult. You know, just looking at it from a performance perspective with all that hostile attention and all the rest of it.
Here's Jerry in Stonyford. Morning, Jerry.
Morning, Stephen. Stephen, my point is that the Paddy and Stuart Olding, Paddy Jackson and Stuart Olding, have, to me, sincerely apologised for what's done, and are fully apologetic. And as Willie John McBride said yesterday, they'd definitely not do that again. Now, my point is the banks screwed the country onto their knees and never apologised. Them guys have suffered the loss of a year. It's going to be a year out of their career. Paddy Jackson, possibly a Six Nations Grand Slam medal. They have suffered a brave bit for a mistake. The banks made plenty of mistakes and nothing has happened to them.
So what are you saying, Jerry?
I'm saying the boys should be bought back, if not this year, at the start of next year. They have done wrong. They appreciate they've done wrong. They've apologised for doing wrong. And I say bring them back.
Have you any sons or daughters, Jerry?
I have two sons. I'm saying let he who is without sin cast the first stone.